Welcome to the C-Town Rivals podcast, where high school sports is always on the agenda. Brett Quinton, Ralph Amson, and Chili are here as always. Reach out to us via Twitter. There's been a lot of tweets lately. You know we'll tweet back. Visit us on ArizonaVarsity.com, and of course, give a like to our Facebook page. Well, fellas, we're going to jump right in. We're not going to talk about any baseball just yet. We're not going to talk any football just yet, but we are going to talk about a football team. Essentially, breaking news. Wow. Hamilton High School, young players being arrested and charged with assault, kidnapping, a whole lot of crazy stuff. And when we normally think Huskies or anything related to the CUSD, it's usually all positive. But in this case, Ralph, wow, the police are involved. Touchy situation, which we're going to dive into.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and read you what was put out by the Chandler Police Department. On March 29, 2017, Chandler Police Department detectives arrested five students from Hamilton High School and one student from Chief Hill Learning Academy for various crimes involving a hazing case. One student is an adult male and the other five are juvenile males. Chandler Police were made aware of these allegations in February 2017. The students arrested are members of the Hamilton High football team, and investigators believe the crimes occurred on school grounds. These crimes were committed between September 2015 to January 2017. Chandler Police investigators also believe there is a possibility that additional victims may exist and are asking anyone with information about this case to call the Chandler Police. At this time, all six suspects will be charged with various crimes ranging from sexual assault, kidnapping, and aggravated assault. Detectives are still conducting an active investigation, and further details will be released when available. Nothing further has been released to the public because five of the people involved in this are juveniles. You know, we're going to, regardless, we're going to keep people's names out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Out of respect and decorum for
absolutely the way that, it's the right thing.
Things are done. I've had several conversations throughout the day, just trying to understand what occurred, why. Who was involved, who knew what. Obviously, there's not going to be any statement from the Chandler School District beyond what they sent home with the kids today in the form of a letter, which was, the district has been cooperating with Chandler Police relative to hazing allegations involving students. Today, police arrested six students in association with the investigation. Chandler Police are in control of this matter, and the district cannot discuss details, but has been instructed to defer all questions to the Chandler Police. That's for the district's protection.
Absolutely.
And that's just so that everybody's on the same page, so that you don't have
she said
speaking on behalf of the entire school district. You would like for the school district to be able to release any and all information directly. Obviously, you know, you're going to have graduating seniors. You're going to have people who are there. There are people who have talked to the media. There's going to be a player that talks to us later in the podcast, just a little bit about Hamilton High football, the culture, and just getting a better understanding of you know, what their mindset is right now. We're not going to get into too many details of the case, but you know, you're not going to get anything from us as far as what happened. You're not going to get anything from us as far as what anybody told us that's different than what the district discussed. And one of the reasons for that is out of a respect for the presumption that somebody is innocent until a court of law determines otherwise.
I fully agree.
I mean, obviously, being charged with something is incredibly serious, and you're not going to be charged unless the state and city and county believe that they have the ability to convict you on that charge. And you can't stop humans from having human reactions to this and from automatically assuming guilt, or from getting angry, or from doing whatever. But we're still going to talk about it because it involves Chandler sports. It's here and it's serious. I mean, Chili, you know, we're going to get people who say, blame the parents, or this is kids today, this is the erosion of culture, or blame the coaches. Is any of that appropriate right now?
My concern mostly right now is that this creates some sort of death penalty situation for the Hamilton Huskies football program, where there might be a mass exodus of kids that may not want to be affiliated with this because their parents may not want them to be affiliated with this. Because of that, you may lose a great coach like Steve Bellis, who, you know, had no knowledge of this stuff, but, you know, since the program is falling apart, not that he's abandoning the kids, but, you know, what is there left for him to do if he's in a position where he can't rebuild the foundation? I'm concerned what's going to happen with, you know, the highly touted players that are there right now. Like, will they be part of an exodus? Well, man, this is this could completely shake Hamilton to the core of their foundation.
It's tough. It's a tough situation. I mean, we look at Twitter a lot, and I saw something kind of what you're saying. Hey, are guys going to transfer, and what's going to happen? My initial thought is it will ultimately affect the depth. If you're kind of a returning guy, someone who's expected to play a role, not quite sure if you're Lee, and again, we have no idea what will happen, but yeah, there will be some type of effect.
The black guy that's left here, and you know, talking about what's appropriate and not appropriate, I'm sure some people are going to go and say, oh, is having a podcast talking about just their football team appropriate? Let me say something. These kids, they're all special. I just got my degree in student teaching, and you know, I think the world of every one of these athletes that I get to go watch on a Friday night and get to go talk to. I always try to grab an interview with at least one or two of them to showcase these young men that, you know, are trying to do so much for themselves. The last thing that you want to hear is something as tragic as this destroying such a respected football program. So I just got to put that out there, like, in talking about appropriateness, you know, man, I just hope that that's not what happens.
Right. I mean, we're going to hear a lot of fire the coach. We're going to hear the death penalty. Good for Hamilton. Just all. We're going to hear a whole lot of stuff that's not positive. And obviously, this is not a positive case. I just think it's going to be crazy how it plays out. I mean, again, we have no idea what is going to happen, but again, we're all human. We read this sort of stuff at the NFL headlines to slightly different degrees. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of negativity and a lot of lashing out at Husky Nation right now.
Some people might have moved here recently, or they might be listeners who are too young to remember this. But in the late 90s, early 2000s, Mesa Mountain View was embroiled in what became a national hazing scandal. And Bernie Buskin, former coach of Basha, was the coach out at Mesa Mountain View when all of that was going down. And if you're too young to remember that, I tweeted out some stuff from the Arizona Varsity Twitter account for you to just kind of expect how this is going to go from here. The first thing that people are going to do is they're going to react to the Hamilton news in human fashion.
Uh-huh.
They're going to blame either the parents, which I've already got tweets saying, where are the parents? I mean, that's the most common one, where are the parents? It's not even a question that anybody can answer. It's just you.
That's
you
what
have
you say.
To direct
right.
it at,
uh-huh.
You have to direct your anger somewhere, even though you're not going to get an answer to that question. You know, for some people, that's the first place their mind goes. Another one is just, you know, oh, this is kids today. Oh, this is just the culture. When the truth is, by any measure, any locker room, anywhere on the planet, is probably 20 to 50 times more squeaky clean, politically correct, respectful, focused than they were in days past when cultural norms might not necessarily have been up to par the way they are today. I got one text saying, like, you know, does stuff like this... Because one of the allegations, one of the charges involved is sexual assault. You know, and I actually got a text today from somebody saying, man, I wonder if just like the widespread availability of porn has anything to do with this. You know, people are going to just speculate wildly. And the last one is people are going to blame the coaches. Now, this is inevitable. No matter what or who was involved, who was told, or in what order, there are going to be people that say fire Bellis, fire everybody involved with that program, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, athletic director, whoever it may be, all the way up the chain, get rid of everybody and start over again. May be justified, may not be. In the event that it's not justified and it's blatantly obvious that Hamilton did everything right, people are still going to ask for people to be fired. That is normal.
Yes, let me go. Let me right, real quick. Let me go on record as saying, Sometimes Bellis is a little bit cold to me, but I'm okay with that. I think the dude is a great leader of young men. I think he has done an outstanding job of creating individuals that are ready for the next level of life. Maybe I think he could have reached out to a few more college coaches for some of his players, but I see a lot of his players as good contributors to society after playing at Hamilton. So, you know, as far as the Fire Bellis movement, I hope that that is not the case.
Oh, well, I fully agree. I definitely agree.
What is
you.
One mistake worth, and when it's a mistake, the level of an actual crime, or people being charged with the crime, like people being arrested in front of their classmates at school, you know, that's the point when we start discounting the fact that you have guys like Brandon Krzelek, Ivy League, Cole mm-hmm. Luke about to graduate
from Notre Dame
to the pros.
Yeah, there are people out there, you know, that we've had on this show that we've watched, that some of us have even befriended, who are of high, upstanding moral character. I mean, this year, probably the most memorable moment of our podcast, the first episode this year, when we all got to meet and talk to a kid like Tyler Alexander.
Absolutely.
That's somebody who was shaped and refined not only at his home, but in the fires of Hamilton football. And so, you know, but it doesn't matter, because something like this casts a very, very wide shadow.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, I'll definitely say, Chile, everything that you've mentioned, I'll certainly echo. I've sat down with Coach Bellis many a time. He is. I'm a nice guy. But yeah, overall, I mean, yes, we've seen many a good product come out of Hamilton. I think it's obviously academic-wise, it's great football-wise. They've had a strong program over the years. You hate to see this happen. I mean, we've seen it at some college levels now, and you hope that it's certainly not a trend.
Now, in my own head, I'm thinking, why fire Bellis? Because what involvement would he have had in something like this? I would say zero. And on the flip side of that, look at like some of the men that he's, you know, helped bring up and make better later on. You know, why?
Yeah. I'm not.
You're a parent. You're actually a parent. So that's why, you know, I'm curious what your thoughts are if your children were involved around something like this.
I'd be worried. I'm worried now. You know, my kids go to public school, and it doesn't matter that it's public school. It could be a charter. It could be a private. And they come home wanting to discuss stuff that I'm years away from being ready for. And I think, you know, in a little bit we'll discuss exactly how real you need to be with your kids on this exact subject matter. But, you know, I would like to think that my response would be measured, but I haven't been in this situation, and I can't begrudge people who are involved in this situation from having their immediate reaction be, you know, disgust or recoil or the urge to protect. I mean, I think about the kids that are involved in this situation as far as having been charged with a crime, and I have a great deal of sympathy for them, and some people will think that that's inappropriate, and I don't care. Because they're kids. These are people whose brains, the frontal lobes of their brains, have not completely developed yet.
We're talking teenagers, and decisions
that they are making that have caused harm allegedly to somebody else at such a level in which multiple people's lives could be ruined or altered forever, they deserve to be held accountable for any actions that they may have partaken in. But at the same time, it's tragedy. The literal definition of tragedy is unrealized potential. So you're not going to be able to get me to say that it's not tragic for kids to be put in situations and to put themselves in situations where there is permanent damage, whether it's of their own doing or not. So to me, it's tragic, and I have sympathy for them. For whoever was affected by this, my heart goes out to them. And until this is resolved, I'm going to be thinking about them every single day. But for the most part, for a lot of people who hear about this that aren't involved, they're just going to want to know what happened.
That's
because
right.
We have an addiction to sort of detail. It's the reason that half of the television shows are about murder. It's the reason that Law & Order SVU, which, by the way, if you watch the most recent episode of that, that could give you some idea of what Hamilton is actually dealing with right now. But, it's why a show about sexual assault has been a bastion of entertainment that has won awards for us going on two decades. You know, we have in this country, in our culture, a need for that type of drama, but you have to separate what's dramatic from what's real and understand that you're not just commenting on an episode of SVU or Criminal Minds or CSI or something like that. These are actual kids who were either affected and are the victim of some very serious things or were the perpetrators of some very serious things whose lives are going to be altered for a really long time. But that's going to happen anyway. And you know, I talked about what happened with the whole Mountain View thing. This is going to get sensationalized and beat to death. But today, every TV news station, including like Cronkite News at ASU, sent a camera to just videotape the outside of Hamilton High School because they want to talk about this, because they know you want to hear about this. It's a sad commentary on our culture as a whole. But the local news loves stuff like this.
Definitely. No, you're right.
It's one of the reasons why if you go to any local news website, their most clicked stories are like, you know, a teacher has an affair with a student or things like that. The story could be 40 years old and it still shows up on their most clicked. They know that this stuff gets played. They can't wait to talk about it. So, you know, you're going to have them sensationalizing something that's already sensational. You're going to have people writing about it, and they need content, okay? They might not have anything to say that is of any... In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say that they don't, because they have the same amount of details that anybody else has, and if they have more, they're not allowed to talk about them. And so, you know, you're going to have people, whether it's at the New Times, which is what happened to the Mountain View thing, or the Arizona Republic, who reach out or just reach in general to try to come up with some type of content. You know, whether they tie this to what happened at Paradise Valley or what happened at Gilbert or any other hazing scandal that ever happened in Arizona, they're out there to create content and have you come look at it and create discussion. They're not concerned with the perpetrators or
right.
the victim
it's
or their
welfare.
Their
fire.
Even
right.
if they tell you that they are not. And
but this situation is so far different than the situation that was at Mountain View. That was the Pink Belly incident, right?
Yeah.
And this is way different than any type of bullring hazing type thing where they have the kids circle around the one and bang, bang. And
no, think about what's going to be said at the football
like,
games
this
in
is
the fall.
Way
That's going to be even crazier.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, hazing is one thing. This is...
Right. They took it to another level of whatever happened. But you're right. Hazing is... one thing, but
right.
yes.
But you'll have people that come out and try... What I'm saying is you'll have people writing about this that'll come out and try to paint it as a trend. Even if it was an isolated incident, you know, even if these kids at Paradise Valley and Hamilton have never met, don't have anything in common, have no coaches in common, have no life experiences in common, that people are going to try to come up with something
Definitely.
For you to read about. The other thing is you're going to have the disgruntled "I knew it" crowd come out of the woodwork.
That's right.
People
That's
who
exactly
have,
right.
who have historically not had a good experience with their kids on the football team. They don't like Bellis. They don't like the coaching yes. staff. They don't like the school for whatever reason. They're going to come out. You're going to start to hear about other things that reflect. So this is one of the things that the coaches and the parents have to get ready for. And when I say parents, I mean that if your kid had absolutely nothing to do with this, had no knowledge of it, but goes to Hamilton, plays on the football team, has a 4.0 grade point average, does community service, and is an all-around fantastic human being who still opens the door for little old ladies.
A Tyler Alexander type
a
kid.
A Tyler Alexander
yes,
type.
Absolutely.
If you're a Tyler Alexander type, it doesn't matter because you have Huskies across your chest. Therefore, you are... guilty. You
that's
are
right.
part of this. And that's one thing that parents absolutely need to understand is that you're going to have people come out of the woodwork and say, like, see, this is why my kid didn't get playing time. See, this is why we didn't get along. Some of these grievances.
And see, this is why we didn't go to Hamilton.
This is
that,
why we didn't
that's
go to Hamilton.
Exactly. We're going to hear that a lot.
Absolutely. And you're going to have 8th graders that enroll in Chandler because of this. You're going to have 8th graders that enroll in Basher because of this. You're going to have 8th graders that go to Castile or Pay. That's just the way it's going to be. Even if that doesn't necessarily make sense, even if this type of cancer exists in every locker room and it just so happened to metastasize
at Hamilton, that's right.
therefore get cut out, therefore making Hamilton the most healthy choice, it's not going to matter. That stain still reflects on the entire program. And so you have to get ready because more is coming. Criticism mm-hmm. that doesn't have anything to do with this will be tied in with this, and you're going to start to get the, you know, if heat comes on Bellis, you're going to have people like, I never liked him anyway because of XYZ. and they're going to tie in their personal issues with something that is incredibly serious.
That's right.
And when you have something like that, the pressure really mounts to act, and we'll get into why I think maybe this situation won't get to that point, and a lot of it has to do with who the principal is, Ken James.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's somebody who has dealt
came
with
over from
a lot.
Basha.
He came over from Basha. Mm-hmm. He hired Bernie Buskin.
That's right.
He approved the hire of Bernie Buskin to be the football coach at Basha, even though Bernie Buskin had been disgraced because of the hazing allegations and the culture that was created at Mountain View where he was the coach. Definitely a super complicated guy. Not mm-hmm. innocent. Can't say he's 100% guilty.
Sure.
But Ken James took a chance on him. Ken James was also the principal at Highland High School during the fallout of the whole Devil Dogs white Mormon gang stain on the East Valley. And if you guys don't remember that, the Sammy the Bull Gravano was like a mob hitman.
Yes, he was.
Who
A New Yorker
who ratted out the Gotti family,
yes,
right?
Yes, he
got
did.
Put in witness protection. Witness protection ended up being Gilbert, Arizona. And he fell
that's
in.
That's funny. That's crazy.
He somehow fell in with like a white power movement and found a way to monetize it by having them sell pills. Something that probably definitely happened in today's climate. But this is happening in the late, mid-90s, early 2000s
mm-hmm.
out in Gilbert, Arizona. He ends up getting charged. Tons of news stories sort of over-sensationalized what was a very real issue. You had a white power gang in Gilbert, Arizona that had committed some assaults, that was involved in drug deals, that was tied to some very powerful people in the Valley. But Ken James was the principal of Highland, wow. having to deal with the, you know, it was a new principal of Highland.
I was going to say fairly new school at that time. Yeah.
With the fallout of that entire situation. And so, you know, this is a guy who's no stranger to controversy and probably has a pretty good idea of how to navigate it. And if anybody is going to stand behind the coaching staff, if there's a coaching staff that deserves being stood behind, we don't have all the details, but if they deserve to be stood behind, you have somebody who not only gave Bernie Buskin a second chance, but watched people over-sensationalize and attribute to Highland High School what was really an outside gang and cultural problem that got lumped in with Highland High School. So there's a chance that the right administration is in place to deal with something this serious, but then the counterpoint of that would be, if the right administration is in place to deal with something this serious, was the right administration in place to stop something like this from happening?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I hope that Hamilton can get through this, and I would say this about any CUSD school. It's very serious that what you mentioned about Ken James. I didn't realize how deep he went and how familiar he is with, unfortunately familiar with, a lot of the controversy. Bellis has been there a long time. Ken James, obviously a very experienced principal. You hope that they can really withstand this storm. I mean, it'll probably get worse before it gets better. All of the things that you mentioned,
always.
All of the he said and I told you so and that sort of thing. There's going to be, obviously, there's media coverage happening right now. All three of our phones are being blown up about this. So it's crazy, but you'd like to think that they will be able to move forward from this.
So, Ralph, what are you guessing happens from here on out with Hamilton? What are you expecting?
I think this is going to get really bad.
Near future before May.
I think that if you feel like you are prepared for what's going to come of this, you're not. I mean, I'm telling you right now, these charges are sexual assault, aggravated assault.
Right there, that's terrible. Yeah, that's
right. Assault could be spitting on someone. Aggravated assault is like saying, I'm going to kill you while punching someone in the face, therefore not necessarily being able to deviate your intent to actually, you know, or assault with an item.
Sure.
Is aggravated assault. And kidnapping, holding somebody against their will, is incredibly serious. These are all felonies. They all carry serious minimum recommendations for sentencing. And I don't know how juveniles are treated, and I don't know if they're going to be treated as juveniles, but understand that six kids were arrested at school in a sweep in front of their classmates having to do with a hazing incident. And I will tell you right now, Hamilton has had some things happen behind the scenes that have not come out. Chandler has had some things happen behind the scenes historically. I mean, I was there. I was involved in something that I'm not super proud of. Where a teammate, I was assaulted by a teammate as a freshman over stolen cleats, and it was horrifying. I got beat up pretty good over trying to get some stolen cleats back as a freshman by a teammate, and it was awful. It was awful. It colored probably my entire high school football experience.
Wow.
This type of stuff, when I talk about it, I know that there are things that happen everywhere that, if put under the microscope and isolated, could be considered heinous, criminal. I mean, I got text messages from people who played back in the day, even before I was in high school, that was like, hey, it's a good thing they don't know what we were up to, huh? And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I mean, it's good for you, but it might not have been good for everybody involved.
Right, because somebody was on the receiving end of whatever went down.
And it could have continued. I had some very frank conversations with people over text today. There are things that happen within an environment where you have a bunch of people trying to find their way, just getting used to testosterone, all involved in a competition setting with limited supervision from different races, different religions, different backgrounds, different goals. It's really a melting pot that can turn into like a powder keg. And so, you know, I understand that there are things that have happened at a lot of other schools that might not necessarily have come to light. And I won't call Hamilton unlucky because, again, this is something that
serious.
If the police are involved in, and then you know that they absolutely believe that this is something that needed to be done the way that it needed to be done. And I'm not going to question what they did, at least not.
And that's the huge thing, to be arrested in front of classmates. It's one thing, hey, after school or whatever, that sort of thing. But when you are, quote-unquote, embarrassed like that, that means that's really serious, more than serious. So it's,
you know, and you never know. You have six people, and sexual assault could be one of the charges for one of the people. But guess what? All your friends know is that you were arrested and sexual assault is involved as a charge. And to a lot of people, sexual assault, regardless of how it's charged, is rape. And then to people, you're a rapist, you know? Whether you were charged with it or not, whether you were there or not. This situation is very bad. And I want to stress to people that it's not going away. And I would ask that if we deal with it, we deal with it in a way that we understand that we all have feelings about. It's all about our connotations of things. People have feelings about athletes that they're going to bring into this. People have feelings about class that they're going to bring into this. People have feelings about Hamilton specifically that have already, my Twitter mentions already are sure, you know, involve certain comments about, like, Hamilton is the only place that this could happen, even though 2 days ago this happened in Texas where nine players were arrested and charged with the exact same crimes. This is actually something that happens all over the country, all over the time, in hazing incidents. And what I want people to understand about hazing is typically either A, tradition.
Yep.
Or B, a prank by which the results create a victim.
Sure.
And I've already had people on Twitter get upset with my use of the word prank. And I'm going to tell you right now, like, get over it. Get over yourself. Get over it. Does prank imply that somebody did something lighthearted and silly? Maybe to you. But the truth is, pranks can have absolutely devastating effects. They have malice or not. You could play a prank on somebody, it could go wrong. They could be maimed, hurt, killed. You could try to do something that you think is funny, and it could encroach on somebody's personal space in a way that makes them feel or be a victim, and you be a perpetrator.
Correct. No, you're right.
And what people need to understand is, because every time something like this happens, and I'm not just trying to clear my name here or make excuses for what I said, but every time something like this happens, people say, that's not a prank, this is a crime. Well, what if they're the same thing, and what if excusing it What if excusing it as saying that they're not the same thing helps really create and foster the environment for this to take place? Because, think about it. If somebody drinks too much and they get in an accident, we still call it an accident. Yeah, they might have been drunk. They might be getting a DUI arrest.
But they say it's an accident.
They still say that it's an accident. Maybe we get to a point where we're sensitive enough that our connotation of accident makes us want to take and remove that from any situation in which two cars crash and one or both parties are intoxicated. But for the time being, we're okay with using that word. And one of the reasons, you know, if everybody's upset right now about what happened, they're going to try to direct it toward something or someone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be upset at me for calling this a prank, that's fine with me. But you have to understand that in my mind, just because I said prank doesn't mean that I don't also believe that it could be an assault.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is quite serious. I mean, obviously, I've known you for a while now. And yes, words are words, but this is clearly the most serious podcast we've ever done. I mean, we can feel it in the room that this is a very deep matter. And yeah, it's whether it's a prank, an accident, something, anything of that nature. I mean, no, I think we're all affected in a different way. Obviously, we're not students at Hamilton, but we're very close to the program. We know many of the coaches, many of the students. That's why we are affected. So, I mean, there's nothing lighthearted about this, and we can only hope and pray that things get better at that school, and that obviously some of it is definitely true because arrests were made, but we can only hope for the best. So, I mean, this is, I just think about it. I've had two parents actually who have eighth graders heading to Hamilton next year. They may or may not be having second thoughts, one athletically inclined and one not. It affects the whole school as well as the football program.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, we're all going to bring our own experiences into this.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be people who were bullied. They're going to be people who were bullies and don't realize they were bullies and don't think this is a big deal. I got a text from one former player today, and I had to flat out tell him, like, hey, you know, this kind of was you, and it's serious, and maybe you shouldn't be joking about it. And you know, I blocked somebody else who I have great fondness for that reached out to me and said, like, hey, you have a daughter. How dare you call this a prank? Because they can't grasp that in my mind. Look at it this way. In seventh grade, I had a teacher who was allergic to perfume.
Okay.
And as a prank, people sprayed perfume on the door of her classroom. She got very sick.
Oh, wow.
Were they trying to make her very sick? No. Doesn't matter. It literally does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
What they thought might have been funny at the time, or even had malice behind it, or could have been a little bit cruel, ended up having serious consequences. Serious consequences. I was in that class.
Sure.
I knew about it, and I didn't say anything. I got in trouble. You know, this is something where what somebody did, regardless of their intent, had the result that it had. And you have to deal on the level of the result, but it doesn't mean that they intend. If you were to tell me that all six people, one of them a junior higher, I can tell you a couple of these people that are involved in this are very young. Very young. We're not talking about outgoing seniors.
Right. Okay? That's crazy.
They're young. There is one adult among them. These are young men. If you were to say, like, oh, what they all realize collectively that what they are doing amounts to kidnapping and aggravated and sexual assault of another human being. And with that understanding, continue to carry out those acts, that's evil. You have an understanding of what you're doing, and you perpetrate it anyway. Now, that's not to say that if you carry out those acts and the result is sexual assault, kidnapping, and aggravated assault, and you have no understanding of what you're doing, that that makes you naive or innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. Because all that matters is the end result. That's the only thing that we're dealing with.
That's
the same as in sports.
You have to win or lose. Right. It wasn't, oh, wow, they tried hard, but they came up short.
Right. No, and this is a loss. Your intent doesn't matter because you have the end result. So if you wanted it to be a prank and it ended up being an assault, it doesn't mean that you didn't want for it to be a prank. Like, it can be both things. A bully can trip someone in the cafeteria, think it's a prank.
And if they hit their head on the pavement or on the side of a lunch table or something like that, that's the result.
And your prank can turn into involuntary manslaughter real quick.
He didn't just spill his lunch tray, he hit his head.
Right.
Yes.
But the idea that we need to police the usage of a word because you need somebody to be mad at right now because you're disgusted with what happened and you have to direct your anger somewhere, I understand that. And I've gotten some of that today. An Arizona Republic reporter. Yes, I went back and forth. And I'm telling him that I'm not concerned with his personal comfort over what word is used and what isn't. His connotation is fine. What I'm saying is, if they meant for this to be a prank and it ended up being an assault, guess what? Your prank was an assault.
He has his job, you have yours. So, I wouldn't even worry about how you've used the word. I mean, you know...
And
you know what you're talking about. We know what we're talking about. We know how serious this is, regardless of that five-letter word.
And we, and Chili, you can attest to this, we started this podcast for the purpose of watching and celebrating with the athletes of the Chandler area as they thrive on and off the court. That's the thing that's most important. Listen, that's why it's hitting us so heavy today, that we're having to talk about people who had the opportunity to do both and may have lost it for good.
It's just disappointing. It's really disappointing. Man, I think about like so many situations that we've been able to like celebrate, like with Chandler winning state for the first time, and I mean, I have the videos of Chase Lucas crying real tears after watching the clock tick down while he was on the sideline. It's
tough. I mean, it really is.
I'm
kind of messed up. It's like I see and feel your emotions.
We're talking about Hamilton, a place where Hamilton football,
right?
Where like we've experienced so many like emotions of like good and bad, but nothing like this.
Correct. I mean, Hamilton football is why I have learned so much about Chandler. I mean, I'll spare you with the details in the story, but that's the school I heard of first. So, I mean, that's what sort of has always stuck in my mind. And to hear this and see this and kind of, like I said, the three of us, we feel this. I mean, that's, it's crazy. It's very emotional to a certain extent. It's just mind-boggling. We don't really know what to say. We obviously don't have the answers. We don't know what the end result is. I mean, we could pick up a newspaper tomorrow and see a headline of who knows what. I mean, it's just, it's bizarre right now.
The only thing that I would ask of people is to just, if you're not involved with this, if you don't have kids at Hamilton and you're listening to this right now, and you want to know what you should be thinking or feeling, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do, and I'm not going to give you any affirmation for anything you may have done or any feelings you may have had, but just understand that these are kids involved, and they are watching you, and they are watching for how you react to this and how you deal with this. So show any amount of empathy that you are willing to display, show it. Anything that you're able to sit down with your kids and discuss, like, have you ever seen anything like this before? What would you do if you were in a similar situation? Who would you talk to? Do you feel comfortable talking to me? If the answer is no, what can I do to change so that we can be in a position that if you ever find yourself in a situation around people who attempt to do something like this, or you're ever the victim in a situation like this, that we can come together and have the trust that we can move forward to do the right thing together? If you're listening to this and you have kids or you are a kid, go have a conversation and think about what you would do. Don't spend time thinking about what was done. Don't spend time thinking about who these people are and how you should judge them. Worry about your own situation, because this type of stuff can and does happen all over the United States all of the time. Go home tonight, Google hazing and football. Google hazing and sexual assault. Just those two phrases together. Your mind will be blown at the number of things that come up in New Jersey, in Idaho, at Florida A&M, in Texas this week, and now in Chandler, Arizona.
You know, on that empathy note and stuff, please be respectful. Have some respect for the situation and the school. Do your research. Here's where kids will be kids. I get it. Mm-hmm. Social media might go crazy a little bit, and there might be the jokes about the situation at
There's
Hamilton.
There's going to be a lot of them.
But please, man, just have some respect for, you know, the families that are involved. Do your research so you fully understand everything that's really going on, because there is a little, you know, 3,000-person community that is fully affected by this, and that 3,000-person community gets bigger because all those 3,000 members go home to family of, you know, parents mm-hmm. or siblings or whatever. And, man, just this is not the time to, like, kick Hamilton down. Rather than, I think it's the time to try to figure out how to put it all back together.
Unfortunately, society doesn't work that way.
No,
but you're right. I agree, but
it doesn't. Yeah. But if somehow the three of us here can reach out and mm-hmm. to four or five people out there who might change their mind on how they handle the situation, I think it will create a better Absolutely. Environment. You know, it is such the news is disturbing and unfortunate. And tragic, like Ralph said, to borrow a word from Ralph. But it's not unfixable. And when I say unfixable, I mean, like, you know, I do think that, you know, we can create better days ahead rather than, you know, make it worse. Informatively, and I know, like, I sometimes give my man a lot of credit. Follow Ralph on Twitter. At Ralph Amazon, like, follow him. He's gonna give you the real, and he's gonna give you the most informative. He's like,
that's Ralph's middle name, Real.
Right, and you know, like, you know, I don't mean this the wrong way, but like, he is the best, like, Twitter troll, because like, he finds everything and really dissects it, and then breaks it down into some sort of opinion, whether it's his or whatever. I really encourage, you know, whether you want to follow him or not, or be a hater, like, I don't care if we got a couple of haters out there, you know, like, just stay tuned and be informed. You know,
I mean, because I'll say,
don't just beat Hamilton yes. down because, like, oh, now's the time to get him.
No,
like,
it's, I mean, that's why the three of us are, dare I say, the best in the business in this city. I mean, we've got three different backgrounds, all for a very common cause, and as I mentioned, this studio right now has a thickness of air that has never been, because we've never had to really dive into a subject like this. Unfortunately, it's not scores and highlights in this case. I mean, we're talking something that is very real, that we're used to seeing, as you mentioned, Ralph, in other cities, and now it's happening for real in our backyard, and that's what's disturbing, and that's what, I don't want to say take some getting used to, but that's what we have to deal with right now.
How you react is okay. How you react is okay, even if it's not the most constructive thing. Whether it's anger, or whether your way of dealing with things is to crack a joke. Whatever it is, even if it might seem inappropriate to somebody else, I'm telling you that the way that you react to this is fine. But what matters is your actual actions moving forward. People are going to receive news and react to it based on any number of conditions that they've been raised around, or the way that they cope, or what they're used to. There are going to be some people that were deeply affected by this because it reminds them of a personal experience. There's going to be people that were deeply affected by this because they have ties to this community. There are going to be people who are deeply affected by this because they have a disdain for a certain school or members of community or people within a certain social status, whether that be, you know, an animosity toward mm-hmm. jocks, whether they earned it in your life or not, you know, you're going to react the way that you react. But what I'd ask you is that your actions moving forward is that you make sure that your house is in order, that you make sure that you know that the people around you know that you're somebody that they can talk to if something like this happens to them, or something like this happens in front of them, or they're involved in something like this and they just know that it might not be okay and they want it to stop and they need to talk to somebody. You make sure that your actions from this point on convey that you're the type of person that has helped build this community into what it is, that it built it into a community that we get together and we talk about every couple of weeks. And the athletes, you know, the parents raising up the athletes in this city have made it worthwhile for us, you know, to talk about.
That's
so
right.
I'm going to get off and blame the parents for any bad thing that happens. Because like we talked about with Bellis earlier, mm-hmm. you can't let one thing cast a shadow over your legacy, even though it might. But if you have the ability to make a choice and you have the ability to look at things from all angles, please do. And the way that you act from here on out, I hope it's with respect to the people who were affected by this. And to the people who have to show up to school every single day being stigmatized by this, and they may have not had nothing to do with it whatsoever. If you were a Mountain View football player for the longest time, you know, you were an abusive
bully
of a person, regardless of, you know, my roommate coming out of high school was on those teams, won multiple championships under Bernie Buskin, and went on to serve in Iraq and take an IED and you know, is dealing with that for the rest of his life. And Bernie Buskin helped shape that person into being somebody who was willing to sacrifice his life for ours. And also there was an environment in which people made the wrong choices. And so when you look at this situation in Hamilton, you obviously have to take what happened at face value, but at the same time, you need to look at everything of value that was created in this situation, almost reverse engineer it and say, you know, the shadow kind of proves the mm-hmm. sunshine.
Sure.
That there was good. If there's a shadow, then that means it's casting over something that was good in the first place.
And something that we talked about before we came on the air, the amount of kids in a given big high school program from top to bottom is huge. 100 varsity, 100 JV, 150 freshmen or so. It's very tough to police, no pun intended, all the actions of all the individuals. Yes, you have coaches at all those levels, obviously, but five or six kids, I can't say don't make a program. Certainly, that's why we're talking about this, because of six individuals. But there's a lot of football players within that Hamilton program. And as we mentioned, I'd probably say most of them are closer to the Tyler Alexander types or in that realm than what we're seeing these charges brought up.
Well, look at it this way. A few years ago, Hamilton played Mountain Point and they had a backup kicker come in the game. He kicked a field goal and I had to ask every single person on the team what that player's name was before I finally reached somebody who could tell me, oh, that's Dylan Brown. He's new.
Downtown Dylan Brown has
he left a mark.
Right. You need to understand that when there are
a very positive mark.
There are 400 people in a football program.
That's right.
You're probably only going to know 15 or 16 people's names, especially if you play and somebody else doesn't. You're worried about who's around
you.
You're worried about who's across from you. You know, everyone's going to know who the quarterback is. Everyone's going to know who the running back is. At Hamilton, everyone's going to know those linebackers. But if you're not playing or you're on JV or you're a freshman, you're talking about hundreds of people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you're sitting by yourself right now, list off the number of people that you know, their first and last name, and they would answer the phone if you called. You're probably going to stop around 20 to 25. Think about 400.
Right.
And having people who you might have seen in a room but have never even once had a conversation with, having their actions reflect on the way that people see and talk about you. And so, yeah, this is a Hamilton football scandal, but it isn't. These are specific people.
Uh-huh.
Who put themselves in specific situations and did specific things and are being dealt with accordingly. And if more comes out about that that contradicts what we're saying right now, we'll correct the record. But that's what we have right now, and that's the way we're choosing to talk about it.
Outstanding. I'd say, shall we move on to a couple other sports?
Yeah,
let's I think we will do that. Speaking of the Hamilton Huskies, they were actually shut out today in North Carolina by a team from Fort Myers. Overall, their record 10-5-1. Good enough to be 13 in the state rankings. This was a team that was actually number 5 in the country. Playing top competition only will get them stronger as they proceed deeper into the season. The Perry Pumas, they're at 500, ranked 15th. Congrats to Trevor Hauer. Recently, he became the team's all-time home run leader. Actually, the school's all-time home run leader. Yes, Perry is. Actually, Perry and Hamilton had a great game about 2 weeks ago. Perry scored 3 times in the last inning to defeat them. So, again, a lot of good baseball in the area. Chandler's still under 500. Their most recent win, a 9-6 win on the road against Gilbert.
Hey.
Chili, I'm going to put you on the spot, kind of.
All right.
We're going to drop down to 3A. Briefly talk about Castile.
Okay.
Nothing real deep. Something I think you're positive about. You're good with the football coach, right?
Yeah, you like the
direction they're going.
I like what they're doing.
Basketball, probably the same thing.
I'm hyped about the program over there.
Now, I'm going to give you reason to be hyped about baseball.
Okay, what's going on?
Matt Parrishow.
Pitcher for the Angels. He pitched for the Angels for a few years.
Parts of 9 seasons in the big leagues. He is the head coach of the Castile Colts.
What?
And they are 10-5.
That's big.
That to me, and again, we're dealing with all sophomores and freshmen. That to me shows the makings of a huge program. You got a former big leaguer. You have a school that's growing, much like football and basketball. They can only go up from here. I mean, they're already in the 15-16 state rankings. I just like what they're
seniors.
Doing. No juniors. So that
no upperclassmen
is just awesome. I'm looking forward to trying to catch one of their games, and I just think that they're doing tremendous things over there.
How do Castile land all these awesome coaches?
Matt Parrishow is a resident of Chandler, Arizona, and of course, with
did he have a relative on Hamilton's baseball team?
That I don't know. He might have.
I think he might. If you're listening to this podcast, shoot us a tweet. I think a couple of Parrishow siblings went to Hamilton.
Yeah. Wow, that's
dang.
I think that's really cool because I mean, you figure a lot of guys, heck, half the teams have spring training out here. You end up settling somewhere, and what better place in the East Valley? You get a school that's opening. Hey, I want that job. So
yeah.
I think it's – I just really like what Castile is doing
overall
from top to bottom. And probably our next podcast, we'll get a few of these baseball coaches on the show with Matt Parrishow certainly being one of them. Valley Christian, they're hanging around 500. They most recently beat up on ASU Prep 10-3. And this is the first poll, but Seton Catholic, number 2 in the 4A poll.
Really?
They are 14-3, so they're
okay. They're
doing some good things. A lot of great baseball in the East Valley, and we'll see how the season goes. And, of course, softball, all 4 of the big schools, well above 500 in the girls' rankings, as are the Castile Colts.
Wow.
So April is going to be a month to remember for hopefully many East Valley teams. I don't know if we'll get the amount of championships that we saw in basketball last month.
Right.
But hopefully some of these teams will go deeper into the playoffs.
Speaking of basketball, shout out to everybody that voted in the ArizonaVarsity.com fantasy basketball poll. And yours truly, with a mind-boggling 38% total votes. Ralph, how'd your team do?
I think that any time that we do our fantasy thing, I think if people play by the WTW rule, worst team wins.
Oh, get out of here. Oh, wow.
Well, we know who won the football poll.
Exactly.
Wow. Dang. But I'm not sure if you just slapped Perry in the face or all of C-Town in the face because
Perry's great. I think Perry's elite, if you guys remember that.
Wow.
I don't know if a mashup of like 70% Perry kids and Ryan Kelly could take on some of the best players from the state, but maybe they could. I don't know. According to Twitter, they can, and that's all that matters. Twitter's all that matters to me. So,
very true.
Congratulations, Brett. Congratulations, Chili. I finished in last in the
both.
Basketball. In
Fabian finished fourth. Yes.
I beat Fabian, who had mostly Chandler players,
and
found a way to be last.
It's
that's
okay,
how confident Chandler is.
I did have TJ Green, though.
Shout out to my man Greg. Shout out to Chuck. And yeah, the football poll was something different. You know, I lost by 0.5%, I think. But, you know, I'm not going to go there.
Seven votes.
which equaled up 0.5%.
You know what I thought about in the basketball thing? I thought about making my last five players all Perry kids.
Oh, wow.
I worked for Brett.
Dang.
I did it, and I lost, so there you go.
Oh, man.
Speaking of hoops, well, now we're going to speak about hoops. Chili, you're a New York City guy.
Oh, yeah, through and through.
I'm a New York City guy, through and through. Probably a little bit more through and through, because most of my adult life has been spent in New York.
True, true.
And I've got a few years on you.
True, true.
But closer to home for you, the Seton Catholic girls are playing at Christ the King, one
Dang.
Of your old high schools.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dick's National Tournament.
Semester and a half there.
They will play the Miami County Day Spartans. And if they win, they will play a team from either Tennessee or Maryland. Games are on ESPN. I think it's awesome. Aside from the tournament, we get to see the girls on national stage in the biggest city in the world on your former high school court.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
how cool is that?
Who doesn't know that New York City is the mecca of basketball? I don't care how bad the Knicks are. So let me tell you what I think is really cool.
That the Work Twins are going to Gonzaga?
That's very cool, too.
There we go.
But I think Seton Catholic, Karen Self, literally has a chance to win the whole thing. Because they only have to win two games.
Yes.
Bam, bam. Not like the boys. Shadow Mountain has to win three.
Very true.
Shout
now
out to my boy Darian Spotsville. Shout out to Jalen House, who carried my fantasy basketball team. But
tough competition.
It's tough. It is. Winning that extra game is a lot harder than you think. Yo, you just have two games. Bang, bang. You're in and out. Yo, we're,
yes.
Hey, guys, we're just going to get these quick W's.
I'd love to see that. I would love nothing more than I think we'd both love. We'd all love to see it. To see a team from Chandler win in New York City.
That would be so amazing.
They were out there a couple of years ago and they fell a game short.
I think we need to dedicate the podcast to Coach Self if she wins.
I think that, like we said, she is elite.
Oh, no question.
I'm thinking about what Sarah Barcelo is going to do without
the Worth girls.
Without the Worth girls next year, and if you know, if it's going to be a situation like where you know,
like
where her brother lost, Marvin Bagley, had to take on all that responsibility and still came through, you know, still won a championship without him. I'm definitely interested, but first we get to enjoy that whole team being together a couple more times.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking, man, like, what is left for Coach Self if she wins this national championship?
I mean, it's...
And I'm proud of, you know,
And she's so down to earth. I mean, she's just really...
You would never think that
really
she had
cool.
won a championship.
Right, I was... Yeah.
And I'm proud of assistant Tiffany Tate, who was on the greatest team of the 20th century, the 1999
Chandler Wolves.
She was a freshman point guard on that team, suffered from cystic fibrosis, has had lung transplants, but has still helped train up those Seton girls, been by
Good
Karen Self's side, and helped them win multiple championships. She has one as a player and a few as a coach. I'm definitely excited for her as well.
Man.
Good stuff. The Chandler Rotary, the big track meet. I was really not able to get out there, but I know that there was some... Were there some big names? I'm thinking there were.
Absolutely, and the Chandler Rotary is great because every single year, everybody comes back, and that's the thing that's really special about Chandler High in general. And the Chandler Rotary in general, it was the biggest event when I was in high school. It's the biggest event now. You know, Marcus Wheaton was out there to watch one of his records fall.
Hey,
oh, wow.
Shout out to him
okay.
for signing that big deal with the Bears.
Yeah, yeah.
Go Chandler,
Marcus
go.
Marcus Wheaton, Chandler High, Mountain Point. He signed with the Chicago Bears. He was out there. He's been out there on multiple occasions. Loves watching track. Devin Allen, who's stopped to focus on
more football.
You know,
pretty fast.
He was out there. You know, and then you had the Chandler girls, who just a couple of weeks ago broke the state 4x400 record.
Oh, wow.
Broke it again.
Jeez.
On their own track at the Chandler Rotary. And so shout out to the Chandler girls 4x400 team. That's not the only record that fell. Several fell. What we're going to go ahead and do is we're going to put all the stats from the Chandler Rotary. We're going to put a link to all of the finishing times up in the post for the podcast on ArizonaVarsity.com.
Hey, speaking of ArizonaVarsity.com, I know that you are putting up updates on the football players. How often?
I'm starting to interview players, and that, you know, they're talking about colleges coming in to see him. Hamilton's Tyler Shuck got an SEC offer.
What?
SEC.
Go to ArizonaVarsity.com for the exclusive on that.
South Carolina, and I was able to talk to him. He came to Arizona State for their junior day, along with Braden Flynn and Jawar Jordan and quite a few other players from Hamilton were out there. Fresno State's been in recruiting heavy.
Bulldogs.
Brock Purdy, he got his NAU offer.
What? To see that. That's great. That's great to
That's
see.
Absolutely huge. Jawar Jordan continues to get offers out of Hamilton, and it's, you know, what we're looking to see if some people are going to get involved for some of Bash's players. It's possible that, you know, they might have to, Colin Collins might have to put on a little bit of a show, but I think he'll be on some major college radars. But it's been a really, really good spring session leading into summer. A lot of them were playing some 7-on-7 ball. Brett, you were able to talk to some people about that.
Yeah, there's like a State 48 team out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And quarterback by Jacob Conover. You got players from all over the place. Including, I think they had a couple from the West Valley that they were playing with. So it's great to see football continue to grow in the city of Chandler. I also saw, I got a text from Brian Winfrey. I don't know if he wants me sharing this or not. Valley Christian's tinkering around with their logo a little bit to make it look potentially a little bit meaner.
Okay.
So you might have an updated Valley Christian Trojans logo to look forward to. You might not, but I did get to see a little bit of that today. That got me kind of excited for Valley Christian football and what they have coming up next year. But yeah, for right now, it's baseball, softball, and track. And from the C-Town Rivals Twitter, we'll be tweeting out results. I believe as we record this, the Chandler Invitational might be going on out at Basha High School.
Sounds right.
Which is always great to get the whole city together, even though a lot of them are always already out
at the
Rotary. It's a great place to go and see everybody. So track continues to kind of be the sport in Chandler, even though football took over and now the Basha Bears have put basketball on the map. But we'll see what happens with baseball as well.
And shout out to my man DJ Ware. He's you know, rebuilding and rebranding himself. I know he's doing some concert promotion things and DJing on the side, not just his name. But he's starting up at Scottsdale Community College, where he's going to restart his football career. I know that he slowed down a little bit, literally, going to that other university down south. So he's got a better opportunity, from what I understand, over at Scottsdale. He's putting on the pads, going to jump on the island and try to shut down some receivers at his cornerback position and hopefully get an offer somewhere.
And you can't teach speed. I mean, he had a hand time 4.27 at a Cal camp leading into his senior year. He had a pretty good senior year at the cornerback position, still learning it after switching from running back, but you know, first place finish as a senior in the 100 meter at the state finals, and so you know, you can't really teach somebody to be that fast. You get him the right technique, and he might be getting his school paid for somewhere.
And then we also looked like we just got a tweet from Dylan Enweiler, former Hamilton player. Looks like he is going to University of North Carolina next year for baseball.
Which is convenient because Hamilton's out in North Carolina right now playing some baseball, and so
Coach Wood's got to be proud of him, and it's good to see these guys just move on. Doesn't matter what school they go to. Again, we've always been very much pro-Chandler, from the public schools to the private schools. We are very much all about this city, and as always, guys, it has been a pleasure. The first half of this podcast, obviously very deep but very meaningful, and certainly well worth the time. We hope you guys listen to a lot of it because it's a serious matter, and we hope that things get better. Ralph Chili, I'm Brett. We'll see you guys next time.